Hello, thank you for downloading Ellis James's Feast of Football. It is a podcast with a difference this week because through, I think it must have been, Daniel Gabaldon's contacts, we managed to get a little interview with Josh Murphy, who plays for Cardiff City. That was very illuminating and enlightening. We talked about how it was moving to Cardiff because he'd been at Norwich for so long. We talked about what it was like going out on loan. Also, his relationship with his brother, because if you don't know this, he is a twin. His brother Jacob plays for Newcastle United, and they played against each other in the Premier League this season. He is a really lovely bloke, so it's a very, very interesting interview. And then obviously we discussed Cardiff and Swansea and a little bit of Newport County and Wrexham as well. So I hope you enjoy it. Just as a caveat, Danny was in London. Iwan and I are at the Vale Hotel in South Wales with Cardiff City train. So there were slight technical problems, but it's absolutely fine. Stick with it. The only thing that we couldn't legislate for was a carry-on film style amount of teacups and saucers started getting pushed through the corridors as we were talking to a Premier League footballer. I mean, I didn't realise there were that many cups in Great Britain, but they all got pushed through. And just as Iwan asked a very, very interesting question, someone at the Vale of Glamorgan Hotel here decided to put up a picture or something, so there's a little bit of drilling. So I'm afraid there was nothing we could do about it, but it's temporary drilling, so it shouldn't infringe on your enjoyment of this podcast too much. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you for downloading Ellis James's Feast of Football. I am here with a special guest, and I'm not talking about Danny Gabaldon or Ron Roberts. I am talking about Cardiff City's Josh Murphy, who is sat to my right. We are at the Vale Hotel in sort of South Wales with Cardiff train, with the Welsh rugby team train, with the Welsh football team train,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, a few years ago, yeah.
Just to fill you in on some technical issues, Danny Gabaldon is coming to us via FaceTime, is that right, producer Andrew?
It is, yeah. It's
right. If the sound quality is compromised by the fact that we have been made promises that weren't kept about ISDN lines, etc., producer Andrew gives his wholehearted apologies. But we've got Danny Gabaldon on FaceTime, so I only usually use FaceTime to phone my mum because she likes to see my face. She likes to make sure I meet him properly. Danny, are you with us?
I am ready to go, boys.
Well, that sounds all right then. So, let's not waste any more of Josh's time. Josh, congratulations. You've done it. First win in the Premier League. How did that feel?
It was good. I think it was long overdue. We've been playing good football at times. So I think just disappointing not to pick up results in the last couple of weeks. But I think this one coming now is giving a massive boost to the team and to the fans, so it's one that we're going to enjoy and go into the game at the weekend with high spirits.
So, you know, you've got your first win under your belts now. What was training like on Monday? Just a completely different atmosphere?
It was lively. Like I said, all the boys were in good spirits, and I don't know, it's just one of them. It just gives everyone a lift, and you can just see like just the togetherness in the squad, just like how much a win can do for the team. So it's just one of them that, like, I don't think the boys want this feeling to go now. And obviously we're going to Liverpool. It's going to be a tough game, but we're going there like in high hopes, and hopefully we can just kick on.
Now this is a question I've asked Iwan and a question I've asked Danny in the past. You were singled out for praise on Match of the Day on Saturday night. Danny Murphy was talking about you. Alan Shearer was waxing lyrical. As a young player, what is that like?
It's a weird one because obviously growing up watching Match of the Day, you always think, I'd like to be talked about in that sort of way. And then for them to be speaking about me in such a good way was really nice to see. And it was not like a dream come true, but it was just like it was somewhere where I wanted to be and have like all these top players speaking about me. So it was a nice feeling, and it was nice to watch on Saturday.
Did it?
Oh come on!
I'm just going to fill you in. We have come to one of Wales's top hotels. to interview a Premier League footballer. It's not something I get to do very often. And they've decided to put a shelf up or something because there's a lot of drilling. Gabardon now has his head in his hands. Priest Andrew's just walked off. He's lost it. They've also got a hostess trolley, which is what they used to be called, and with 40 or 50 of the noisiest cups and saucers I've ever seen in my life being walked past.
Josh, had the lads sort of kept their heads up in that difficult period when you're looking for that first win? You've been unlucky on a couple of occasions not to get it. You know, I thought Burnley you played ever so well, should have got something from the game. Spurs away, shouldn't have come away empty-handed. But how was the dressing room after, you know, not getting those first 3 points earlier than probably what you would have liked?
Obviously, it was difficult, and I think for any team coming up, getting your first win is massive. But I think the way the win came about, like after playing so well, and I think it was just a good relief, really.
Yeah.
Like for the boys, and it was about like sticking together as a group, because we knew we had a tough run to start with, and it was easy to get downbeat. But I think just sticking together, I think that just showed, because we could have let our heads drop after some of the results, and I think just the way we've been playing recently, like you said, like the Tottenham game, we didn't deserve to leave that game with no points. So I think it's just only a matter of time before we won a game, and just that team spirit. I think that's what got us through, and I think it's a good bunch of lads here, and we're all together, and no one really like gets disheartened, because we know how tough the league is going to be.
And is Danny Rose really that slow, or are you just that quick? that first half, that run in the first half, you gave him 5 yards.
Oh, I don't know.
I just went absolutely flying past him.
I don't know. I'd like to say I'm quick, but I don't know. Maybe I caught him off guard. I don't know. Pace is one of my strengths. So as long as I can use it in a good way and keep burning defenders, I'm going to keep doing
it. It's not just Danny Rose, mate. You got Hayden sent off earlier in the season. Callum Chambers went off half time.
He found an injury, by the way, Callum Chambers, just before half time. He didn't want to come out for the second half.
He didn't fancy it.
You know, when you're on top of a defender like you were against Chambers, you just, whether he went down the line, he came inside, he couldn't cope.
Yeah.
I bet you're just saying, just give me the ball, just give me the ball.
Yeah, that's one of the only things I say to the boys like on the match there, just keep giving me the ball, because that's all I want to do. Either give it to my feet or let me chase the ball, because I just want to, I just always want to be involved in the game and just taking people on. And like, I think I get as excited as fans when I get the ball, because I'm getting it, and it's just like, right, what can I do now? Like, can I make like something happen? So I don't know, it's just one of them things, just give me the ball and I'll try my best to make something happen.
Josh, on a personal kind of level, how have you found the kind of step up from the Championship to the Premier League, and what are the kind of the big differences that you've kind of noticed in the two leagues?
I'd probably say the Premier League, you get a bit more time than what you would in the Championship. So there's a lot more things that I can do on the ball now, which I probably couldn't do in the Championship. But I'd probably say the biggest thing is the mistakes that you can get away with in the Championship compared to the Premier League is a massive difference. You give the ball away, and quite often we found this season, if you give the ball away, then the ball will probably end up in like the back of our net. So I think that's one of the biggest things in this league. And obviously like the tempo of the game's quicker and stuff like that. But I think it's just them individual mistakes. If you make them, you get away with them in the Championship, but not in the Premier League.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, because when I kind of made the step up from the Championship to the Premier League as a player, it sounds a little bit funny, but one of the things I enjoyed was actually not having that kind of midweek game, just playing from Saturday to Saturday. I felt like I was kind of fresher going into games, and you kind of had that week, you had a bit more time to plan, and almost you'd have more time to almost work on your game on the training ground and stuff as well. Have you found that a little bit easier as well, having that kind of one game a week instead of that Saturday, Tuesday?
Yeah, probably the biggest thing is having more days off, because I'm not used to having this many days off, because normally the championship Saturday, Tuesday. So yeah, like going into games on a weekend, I feel a lot fresher. But then come the end of the game, I feel a lot more tired than I would do in a championship game. But watching the championship yesterday, I was thinking, oh, I missed them Saturday, Tuesday games, because it's just relentless. Like, you've got two or three days before you're then going again. But like, playing the Premiership, that's the league that you want to be in, and the whole week leading up to it is always a good feeling.
How did Neil Warnock try and keep your spirits up? Did he focus on the positives? You know, because you played well against Arsenal, you played well against Tottenham. How is it that Neil keeps the spirits up in a group of players who haven't got a first win yet?
He's a good man manager, and he looks after the boys well. And I don't know, I think he was one of them where he was just trying to get the team not to get disheartened, because we knew how tough the league would be. And he stuck by us, and he's just made the boys just stick together, really. And I think, like, probably our last four games, you could say that we've given teams a good run for their money. And if he didn't keep us together, then it could have went the other way.
Because some of the stuff that certain members of the press have said and the media, Chris Sutton is the one I'm thinking of mainly. You know, he's been saying that you're going to beat Derby's record. Do you look at that stuff as a group of players? Does it motivate you, or do you just try and ignore it as sort of clickbait or attention seeking?
I think the best way to handle that is just to ignore it, because I think as a team we know what we can and can't do, and I think we get criticised by we don't pass the ball much, it's long ball, but we know as a team what we can do, so it's just about sticking together. And like, we're the underdogs in this division, we're the underdogs, and we're going to come under criticism, but as long as we achieve our target of staying in the Premier League, then I think that's all that matters.
Neil Warnock has been criticised a bit by certain fans for being quite downbeat and defeatist. Like he said quite recently, last week I think it was, you know, he wouldn't put money on you to stay in the Premier League. I mean, there was the caveat, in fairness to him, of he was saying, well, I wouldn't have put money on us to get promoted last year as well. Now, Bobby Reid has said in the press this week that he likes that because it deflects attention away from the players and onto Neil. Is he very different with you, sort of behind the scenes? Is he more of a sort of a tub-thumping motivator? Is it just to sort of deflect attention from the players and onto himself?
I think maybe a little bit to take the pressure off us, but he, at the end of the day, he looks after like us as a team, and I think he would rather the pressure be on him than the team, because we've got other things to be worrying about, like on the pitch and whatnot. And I think you've got two sides to the manager. You've got him, obviously, like in the press and how he is on the sidelines, but then you've got him on a day-to-day basis at the training ground. And I think anyone that's worked for him would say how much of a good guy he is, a good manager, and how, I don't know, ultimately gets the team going, and how he has his players like running through a brick wall for him. So I think that's just a big credit to him, and whatever he does gets the team going. And I think like our season's up and running now, and that's a big credit to him.
I mean, me and Gabs have both played for Neil, and it is exactly what you say, Josh. If you play for him, you love him, because he'll do anything for you. He'll stick with you. He'll protect you. And at times, and it happened a bit last year at Cardiff, where they were getting a little bit of stick because they were very, very direct at times. But it's that siege mentality with Neil at times in the dressing room. It's us against the world. I'll take all the pressure. I'll take the pressure off your shoulders. All you've got to do out is go out and play and concentrate on that hour and a half.
You hit the nail on the head. Like, we're out there just to try and do our best, because we know how difficult and like unrelentless this league is. And I think whatever he can do for the players to make sure that they're in the best mind frame and the best possible shape going into a match or during a match, I think then he will do it.
How strange was it, mate, when I think you only sort of played 8 minutes with Jacob earlier in the season. That's the first time you've obviously played against him, come up against him on the opposition side. Was that quite a strange feeling?
Yeah, it was a weird one, because normally it would only happen in training, and like in training it would be like, I don't know, one of us would get the ball and it'd be like, oh, quickly pass it or quickly have your shot because I don't really want to tackle you, because you wouldn't want to make the other one look bad. But no, it was a strange feeling, like that match, because we knew we both needed the points and we was up against each other and he's not a right back. So I think it was even weirder for him. But no, just seeing him there, knowing that I've got to go and close him down and tackle him was strange. So luckily, it only has to happen twice a season, so which is good. But no, it was at the same time it was a really good feeling and a proud.
Josh, has it been difficult kind of being away from him, being separated? Obviously, you're kind of the length of the country away from each other now. I know you've obviously got a very close bond, close relationship with him. Has that been kind of difficult? Not seeing him as much, not being around him as much.
It's a weird one because being twins, you've got a special sort of bond. But obviously, we speak to each other every day and things like that. And I found it hard last year when he did make that move away, because I needed him quite a lot. And I think that's just a twin thing. But like now like we're a year on, like down the line, and I think we're both coping with it quite well. But I think that's just part of growing up. And like at the end of the day, we're footballers, but at the end of the day, we're human and family. So I think a lot of people can relate to moving away from family members, and they might find that difficult. So I went through a little patch where it was a bit difficult for me, but I've come through at the other end, and like I feel like I've benefited it.
We've spoken on the pod, on previous podcasts, about young players kind of making moves to big clubs, and you know, it doesn't always kind of work out for a lot of the reasons are kind of maybe off the field more than on the field, the different kind of things you have to deal with. How's the move to Cardiff been for you, obviously moving to a different city, away from your family and your friends, your brother you just mentioned, and how important is, you know, kind of having a I don't know, support around you, the likes of your agent, your family or whatever, to help you kind of settle in and make sure then you just got to concentrate on your football and nothing else?
I've got a good network around me and a good base and a good group around me, so like that transition was a lot easier than what I thought. I've got guys from my agency always coming down to see me and stuff like that, and pretty much every other week I have different friends coming over to visit. So
did the club help with that kind of thing?
The club have helped. Callum, the player liaison officer, he's been a massive help to me, like just to settle in and help me just with little bits and bobs. Obviously, he helped me get my apartment in the city, and that took a lot of like stress and pressure off me, so I could just focus on coming in, like finding my feet at the club and settling in. So I think just everything around me, like on and off the field, so the Cardiff side and then the personal side, the people around me, they've been a massive help, just ultimately letting me focus on playing football and doing it the best I can, and everyone else taking care of like the things off the pitch.
Alice, there is nothing worse than walking into a new dressing room. Honestly, it's the worst. It's like moving school, really. It's the first time you'd have done it, Josh, isn't it? I did it a few times. It doesn't matter how many times you do it, it's still that first day, that first time you walk through that door and meet your teammates for the first time. It's a horrible feeling.
Take us through it then. What was it like day one?
Bit awkward because I not made a couple of the boys.
No, I'm Josh, not Jacob.
Oh, no. I get that a lot. Harry Art always calls me Jacob. But
he knows he's at Newcastle, yeah, though.
But no, walking in on the first day was a bit awkward because obviously playing them the season before, I nutmegged a couple of the boys, and I think I sent Mozza to the chip shop one time with a chop. So I didn't know how that was going to go down. But I don't know, it was an easier transition than what I thought. The first couple of days always like awkward because the boys are trying to figure you out, like what kind of person are you. Obviously some people are there like, oh, is he going to come take my place and whatnot. So I think the transition was was good and was easier than what I first expected.
What's Neil like with young players on their first day at a club? Was he helpful, or did you see very much of him?
I've seen him a couple of times before I came and signed, and he was very welcoming, and like that's the first time I had seen a different side to him, because I only knew him as the manager that screams on the sideline. So for him to look after me and whatnot was like really nice, and I don't know, just the team spirit in the boys, and it's a good set of lads, and they're very very welcoming. So like I said, the transition from coming from Norwich to here to a new dressing room was relatively easy.
Josh Warnock loves a winger. They're his favourite players to look after. So I reckon you're getting more days off than any other player. I reckon your teacher's pet.
No, that's Sol Bamba. No, Sol, he's the teacher's pet.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he gets the special treatment. But no, I enjoy it. Like if I have to come in on my days off, then so be it. But the manager's always giving me sticks, saying how he was quicker than me back in his day.
I'm sure about that.
He was a much better winger. So, no, he's me and him have got that good rapport.
Josh, you've seen your good mate, James Maddison, move to Leicester. Mm-hmm. He's had a great start to the season. He's got himself into the England squad. You must be looking now, after the start you've made, you're scoring the goals. You've got an England manager who's picking young players. Mm. That's got to be sort of on the horizon for you, surely.
I think any young players, it's an exciting time to be an English boy, because you can see the great work Southgate's doing, and he just wants to like promote the youth. So it's something that I'm not looking into too much, because I just want to focus on my football with Cardiff, because like ultimately, if I'm doing well with Cardiff, then I'll be in with a chance. But no, obviously, I'd love to play for England one time, and just to see Madders get that call up. I think that was a massive boost for everyone that he's played with and things like that, knowing that like if you've got the ability, it's just about showing it, and he's showing it, and he's got his chance. So hopefully one day like my chance will come.
So you've got Liverpool at Anfield on Saturday. Now that's one of the dream fixtures for newly promoted teams. You're buzzing after your big win. So what have you got in store for Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp on Saturday? Have you approached training in a different way?
We've gone about it the same way. I think just trying not to change too much from the last game. But I think we're looking forward to going there, because we're a team that people won't want to play against, because we're there to ruffle like feathers and like impose our physical stamp on the game. So I think it'll be a bit different challenge for them, but it's something that we're going to relish, because they might not be expecting it as much. So no, I think it's one that we're all looking forward to. I'm not too sure if many of the other boys have played at Anfield, but we know it's going to be a good atmosphere, and it's going to be a game where like if we can play it out 100%, then we could be in for a chance of nicking 3 points maybe.
Because before we started recording, you were saying that you love playing for Neil Warnock because of the style of football. Mm. What is it about the way Cardiff play that you enjoy so much?
I think just I know that I've got that security behind me with like all the big lads, and I think just like the counter-attacking football kind of suits me. Like I just want to be like running at the back four and like trying to exploit the spaces left behind, and I think just the way he's got it set up is like just down to like suits me down to the ground, and it's a challenge that I'm relishing at the moment, you know, like trying to get the boys up the pitch and trying to create something. So it's nice to be like a vocal point in this team.
See, Josh, I think that's a little bit where Neil Warnock is a little bit misunderstood by people on the outside, where they kind of talk about maybe the style of play and maybe it looks a bit more defensive. But certainly when I worked under him, he expected obviously defenders to defend, but as I said, you know, he loved his kind of attacking players, and kind of when the attacking players got the ball, you know, they had that kind of freedom to go and attack, and he wanted to get his wingers to get into the box and score goals. So I think he's a little bit misunderstood, to be honest.
No, I think he's given me and like the other forward lads a lot of freedom. Obviously, he wants us to do our defending job, but I think going forward, it's just go and express yourself. And it's one of them, like, even if you give it away, like, he might be disappointed, the boys might be disappointed, but it's the one where he'll encourage you then to get back on the ball and try and make things happen. So he knows it only takes one chance to get a goal. So I think he just tries to encourage that. And I think he just tries to make us solid so that, say myself, gives the ball away, then we've got people around me to win the ball back and then let me go and do my job.
Josh, you got your first goal, Premier League goal, against Burnley. What a great finish it was. Was it better than the goal you scored against Aston Villa at Carrow last season?
No way.
They were both good for different reasons, but I'd say my first Premier League goal, that was...
Special moment.
Yeah, that was a special moment, and it was one which brought us back into the game at 1-1, so I'd say that probably would be my better goal, yeah.
To be fair, he's pinged one in from 30 yards with his left foot against Aston Villa in front of the Barkley end. If you're going to score at Norwich, that's the end to do it.
Well, you're in Garth Crooks' team of the week. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah.
It's not easy
to get into Garth Crooks' team of the week. Well, I've told you now. So is that something that's, sort of, you know, you get to puff your chest out a little bit, feel a bit more confident?
No, I just want to keep playing well, you know. It's nice to like get the recognition for that sort of things, and it's nice to start putting my name on the map and like getting the points for Cardiff in that sort of sense. So, no, I just want to just keep that going, and if I can be in Garth Crooks' team of the week each week, that means I'm doing something right.
What have you learned? Because it's now, you know, it's late October. You've played 9 games in the Premier League. You know, you're sort of a couple of months in. Off the foot of the table, what have you learned over the last few, you know, 6 or 7 weeks that are going to stand you in good stead for the rest of your career?
Just that things can change quickly. 1 minute you can be like down in the dumps, say after losing 4 games in a row, and then after 1 game you've climbed up the table. And I don't know, it's something where you just got to, I don't know, keep going and just persevere with things, because if you've got the right aim and the right target, then eventually you'll get there. So I think that's one thing that I will stick with me, like, in my career. Just keep going and just keep plugging away, because the bad times, they don't last. And I think you can see the vibe around Cardiff at the moment. It's almost like we've been like 10 games unbeaten, and we've only won a game. So I don't know. I think it's just about just keep plugging away and just keep battling.
Josh, on the subject of learning, we speak a lot on the podcast about young players developing, coming through, and the importance of kind of maybe going on loan and playing that first team football week in, week out. You obviously had 2 kind of loan spells. You went to Wigan, you had a really productive loan spell at MK Dons as well. Do you think that was important for your development and has helped a lot to kind of get you to where you are now?
I'd say so. I think the loan route for most players is the right route. I think you've got an exception with people like Rashford and like them sort of players that will just go straight into a first team. But I think getting out your comfort zone is probably the best thing for you. Going to like toughen yourself up, playing against men, like a different sort of environment. Because say you're a youngster at a Premier League club, you'll be used to a certain lifestyle, a certain way the dressing room is there. And then going out on loan to, say, a League One Championship team, you'd think like the life wouldn't change that much, but it's a massive difference. So I think, yeah, going out to basically play real men's football, I think that's where it's at, and I think that's where that's toughened a lot of youngsters up, and it certainly did me, and it was something that I relished.
Josh, if I can ask you about, did you feel the pressure as a young lad coming through at Norwich, because Norwich have had an academy for many, many years now and hadn't really developed any youngsters to break into the first team since probably Craig Bellamy, who was then sold for £6 or £7 million. And then there was a lot said about yourself and Jacob. You had that magnificent FA Youth Cup run, which ended up beating Chelsea in the final. Did you feel a certain amount of pressure that you were the next ones to make that step up into the first team since the days of Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, but it was something that we wanted to take on. We knew that we would be eventually good enough to play for Norwich first team. I think one of the hardest things was probably the pressure of just showing that you was good enough and
to get a chance.
To get a chance, and like when eventually we broke into the team, it was just like, right, we want to show like the manager, the teammates, the fans that like we're ready to play this football and not to disappoint people, because it always gets to a point where potential. He's got good potential and it gets you so far, and then it gets to
you got to produce something.
It gets to a time where you got to produce. So I think, like, obviously there was tough times for both of us at Norwich, but I think coming like through the back end of it, I think we showed like enough people that we was ready for that step up, and like you said, there wasn't many other players since you'd say Craig Bellamy in the past, and then maybe Corey when he had a couple of seasons in the first team. There wasn't too many other people, so to carry that baton was good. And now you see the likes of like Todd Cantwell playing yesterday, Max Aarons, Jamal Lewis. You see them playing, and they've taken to the first team. Great.
Do you speak to those boys?
Yeah, I speak to them. Yeah, so I'm in contact with them boys, but like just seeing them do well, because you never know what they're going to be like. They might excel at. Under 23 level, youth team level, but then playing first team is different. But like they've come in and they look natural. So
is it still the first result you look for when you get in the dressing room?
After my brother's result, then Norwich is always the first result. Yeah.
Josh, I need to let you get on. You're playing Liverpool on Saturday. Thank you very much for your time. Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, Josh.
Well, Josh Murphy, Daniel Gabaldon and Iwan Roberts. What a lovely bloke.
Nice lad, really nice lad. Yeah. I mean, having lived in the same city for a few years, you bump into, Norwich is a village, as they say, so you bump into people. And he's always come across as a level-headed, really well-spoken.
Very bashful, very humble man.
Well-mannered young lad.
Danny, you know Josh, don't you?
I do, yeah. No, he's I echo the sentiments there of you, and he's a lovely guy, level-headed, very professional, and he deserves to be playing in the Premier League to get the move to Cardiff, and just delighted to kind of see him performing well now. And I think he's going to be a key performer for Cardiff this season if they're going to stay in the Premier League. A lot of it's going to be down to him and his form. So, delighted to have him on and get some insight from him. I thought that was fascinating stuff, yeah.
Well, from one feel-good story to another, Swansea City 3, Blackburn Rovers 1. Game of two halves. I know someone who's on holiday, and he put on Facebook, came down at half-time to check the score. SCFC ruining holidays since 1912, because we were 1-0 down at the time, but came back to win 3-1. Iwan, what did you make of it?
Too many changes once again. I thought he picked the wrong team in the first half. And then second half, they were completely transformed. He brought on Jay Fulton and Leroy Fair. He went to a 4-4-2 with Selina just behind Oliver McBurney. He moved Dan James, who'd started the first half on the right-hand side.
What a game he had.
He's far better on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
You know, he started with Norton in midfield, when you've got Fulton and Leroy Fair sitting on the bench. I just think he got it completely wrong, Ellis. And I hope he's probably learnt a lesson last night, that he's got to stop tinkering, he's got to stop putting square pegs in round holes. He's got to play players in their best positions.
Well, he's started to get a small amount of criticism for his Claudio Ranieri tinker man style. Revolving of the squad, and he picks a different first 11 every week.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he knows what his best first 11 is.
I mean, the game on Saturday at Villa Park, he gave the young boy, Kean Harris, his debut. You know, played him in a three at the back. First time they've played with a three. You know, what a game to put the young lad in. And then he completely leaves him out last night.
It was the fourth biggest attendance in British football.
Yeah.
There was 42,000 at Villa Park.
And there's always going to be a tough game with, you know, Doug Ellis sadly passing away.
Yeah.
Steve Smith's first game in charge. So what a game to put him in, and to then completely leave him out last night. You know, the goalkeeping one is a strange one for me, because Mulder didn't do anything wrong. He kept 5 clean sheets in his 9 appearances.
Yeah.
Although I've got to say, I think it was 2-1 last night, and Nordveld's made an unbelievable save low to his left-hand
yes.
side. And then 30 seconds later, Selina goes through on goal and just lifts it over the Blackburn keeper, and it's 3-1 and it's game over.
I think this Swansea side, when they're good, they're very good. But, you know, they were at half-time, they were staring down the barrel of a third yeah. consecutive defeat, some boos at the Liberty
and
as well.
The difference in reactions from the crowd at half-time to full-time. And I don't care what anybody says, the two boys that start it all off for me is Conor Roberts and Dan. The energy that those two boys show. They care. They're homegrown talent. They love playing for Swansea. And fans, that's all fans want to
see. Yeah, yeah. Well, Daniel James, you know, he could be a really important player for us and for Wales as well. He's only a young kid. He hit the woodwork twice last night. Second half, I thought he was fantastic. You know, it is thrilling watching young local boys. Joe Roden, obviously, is another one, coming through the ranks. And it's the kind of football that fans really like, watching young players who are playing for the shirt. It's a cliche, but it's true in their respect.
And we have seen it in flashes this season. The Leeds game at the Liberty, I thought they should have won the game. I thought they were very unlucky. Really good performance. The QPR game then, you know, 1-3-0. Really comfortable afternoon. You know, a solid performance. High tempo, high intensity. Everything that we didn't see in the first half against Blackburn last night, but then we see it in the second
yeah.
half.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, very Jekyll and Hyde.
Gabs, do you reckon Graham Potter's making too many changes?
Yeah, I tend to agree, to be fair. I mean, I was at the Villa game Saturday. You know, he went with a 3 at the back. It didn't work first half. It cost them a goal. You know, Conor Roberts and Roden, young Roden, were kind of playing on that right side of the defence, and they really struggled to get to grips with what Villa were doing. It didn't work. He changed it around kind of second half, and they were better. And I thought he would have learnt from those mistakes, you know, changing too much going into the game on Tuesday, but obviously he didn't. You know, he changed 5-6 changes again. He changed the three in midfield completely. And obviously that first half, you know, it didn't really work. Second half, then he changed it again, and it worked. So I do feel he needs to try and settle a bit more on a shape and personnel, because at the minute he's just about getting away with it, because he's just about getting enough results, I think, to kind of keep everyone happy. But what will happen if they go on a run of bad results? You know, you'll get one or two players now starting to question things. And saying to themselves, well, you know, I don't know whether I'm coming or going here. I mean, you look at kind of Selina, and he's playing 3 or 4 different positions in one game. And it can get a little bit confusing and difficult to get that kind of continuity as a player. So I think at the minute he's just about getting away with it, because he's just about getting enough results. If they were to go on a bad run, then you might then see players maybe not buying into things as much and maybe losing a little bit of that belief. So look, it was a great second half performance. They got the win, and you just like to see them now, maybe, or the manager kind of settle on a starting 11, maybe changing one or two here or there, and just showing a bit more faith in the players, because, you know, maybe, you know, there's some kind of strategy there maybe for the second half of the season where he's trying to keep kind of everyone fit. I don't know, but they are capable, as you've seen, of some very good performance, putting in really good performances and playing attractive football and getting results. So you just want to see that a bit more consistently. And I think that would happen if he was settling on a system and I don't know, continuity with a selection a little bit more almost.
Well, we are now 8th.
Yeah.
Touching distance of the playoffs. This team, I think, has got a lot to offer. I wish he'd play the same team from time to time. Have you got a theory, Gabs, as to why he's changing the team so much?
I'm not sure. Maybe it's just how he does things. I think modern day football has gone that way a little bit, where everybody seems to believe in this kind of rotation kind of system and constantly changing 3 or 4 players. Look, it is a a very demanding league, the Championship. You know, to pick the same 11, you know, Saturday, Tuesday, it is difficult at times as a manager. But I do think maybe he has gone a little bit too far the other way, where you're making five or six changes, you're changing the formation of the team three or four times in a game. I'm not sure if that's the right way to go. I think that's almost admitting at times that you've got it wrong as a manager, where maybe, you know, the first half hasn't gone as you would like. Maybe you've got it wrong tactically and you're having to switch things around to try and get a result. You can't constantly do that for the whole season and get away with it. So, you know, maybe there is a game plan there where he's thinking second half of the season will be a lot stronger. We'll have players that are kind of fresh and ready to come into the team and ready to go from the get-go. I don't know. We can only see as time goes on. But certainly as a player, I'm not sure I would enjoy that rotation system. When you're playing well, you know, you want to be playing week in, week out, playing as many games as possible. To play two or three games here and there, and then you're out of the squad completely, or you're on the bench for a couple of games, I think it's hard to kind of get that continuity and get your form consistent.
I can imagine why he makes changes up front. Because when I think before last night, you'd only scored 12 goals in your opening. So I can understand that. He's got to try different combinations. He's got to try different partnerships to see what works, how you start scoring goals. But I don't understand why he keeps on chopping and changing defensively, because I think defensively you've been rock solid, to be fair.
Well, Reading on Saturday, 21st, point off the relegation zone. How do you see that go? I mean, I don't know anymore. Because you expected us to beat Ipswich. We're in this, you know, we're bottom and haven't won a game.
I mean, you'd have thought they will go into that game now full of confidence after what happened in that second half. You know, Paul Clement coming back to the Liberty for the first time. I expect them to go and win the game. You know, I think Reading have lost three of their last four. Yeah. They lost to Birmingham last night. I think they are a team that are there to be beaten. And if Swansea, if they can sustain the work rate and the high intensity and the pace in which they attacked last night in that second half, then Reading won't be able to cope with it.
Well, you'd think, you know, Reading playing Reading at home, you'd think that we'd have enough.
And that is the thing, you know, before the Ipswich game, I think you were seventh, just a point outside the playoffs. All of a sudden, you lose two on the spin, you drop to 15th.
Yes.
And you're thinking, oh, it's doom and gloom, it's going to be a relegation battle. But even though you were 15th, you were only still 4 points off the playoffs. If you win back-to-back games, you know, you're back in that top six.
Well, just quickly, before we lose Danny, it's a shame, isn't it, for Cardiff that they've got their first win under their belts. You know, it was a cracking game on Saturday against Fulham, and now they've got to go to Anfield. How do you see that one panning out, Danny?
Well, of course, I mean, it's going to be a difficult game. I mean, Liverpool's home record is ridiculous. I can't remember the last time they lost. The clean sheets they're keeping, but they're not actually playing at full tilt, I would say, at the moment. Obviously, off the back of a Champions League game as well, you hope maybe that they're not quite at it. They've got a couple of injury issues at the minute. So you just never know. And I just think, you know, it's a free hit. I think it's great that they kind of got that victory before going to Anfield. That'll give the Cardiff players a lot of confidence. And you've just got to go there and see it almost as a free hit. Not worry about things too much. Not, you know, respect the opposition. But don't be in awe of them, which is very easy to do when you're coming up against the likes of Salah and Firmino and Mane, people like that. So I'm sure they'll be under no illusions. It's going to be a really difficult game, but, you know, no one will be expecting them to kind of get anything. But, I mean, you just never know. You just never know if they can kind of get their game plan right, which I think they have done in the last couple of games. It's the best I've seen Cardiff tactically with regards to kind of team selection. I think, you know, they're doing everything right at the minute. You just never know. They might be able to go there and get a result. That is the nature of the Premier League. It is very competitive, and we do see these crazy results kind of thrown up here and there. So, it's a free hit, really. It's a free hit. No one expects them to win, so they just got to go there and try and give their best. And if it's not good enough, you know, you dust yourself off and you move on to next week.
Well, Newport County, they drew with Bury 1-1 last night. They are fourth, so they're in the playoffs. They've got Morecambe at home next, who are 20th and have lost three on the spin. So surely Mike Flynn's going to be looking at that as a must-win fixture?
You'd think so. You look at Newport's home form, and they've won 5 of their 7 games at home. So, and you've just said the stats for Morecambe, they're in poor form. They're fighting in that relegation battle at the bottom of League Two. And they went away to Crawley and were well beaten at Crawley, but then they've gone to another tough place, Gig Lane. I've been there on more than one occasion. It's not an easy place to go.
I'd one of the best days of my life at Gig Lane.
You know what? I had 2 of the best days of my life at Gig Lane.
Did you?
Yeah.
We should do a podcast from Gig Lane.
We were Huddersfield Town, oh, I can't remember what year, we were 4-0 down after 29 minutes. I'm thinking, here we go. I just want to go home. And we ended up drawing 4-4.
Oh, and lovely.
And I also scored my 200th league goal of my career there. So it's got special memories for me as Gig Lane.
Swansea got promoted against Bury. You took 5,500 fans up. They had 3 sides of the ground, and Adrian Forbes scored after 48 seconds. Absolutely fantastic. But we're running out of time. But Wrexham, still second in the National League, but they are in the FA Cup first round for the first time since 2014. So they beat Harrogate 2-0 in a replay. Prior to that, they played 180 minutes of football and it had been complete deadlock. So you're hoping, Danny, that is going to spill through into their league form?
Yeah, I think a cup run would be nice for Wrexham as well. Obviously, you don't want it to affect the league form. Hopefully, you can enhance things. Obviously, bring some much-needed kind of finances into the club as well if they can get on a decent run. But that was a good win. Actually, I quite like that they, you know, they played on Saturday and the replay was a couple of days later. You know, get it done kind of out of the way. A good win, and you know, they can kind of concentrate on the league form. I think they got, is it Chesterfield away now next game, so where they can get back to the you know, the business part of the season now. But that was a good win for them, because Harrogate are a decent side, and yeah, I think a cut run for the club would, you know, bit of profile as well would be fantastic, but obviously not to the detriment of the league form, which is obviously the most important thing.
Well, that's all we've got time for, I'm afraid. I know we rushed through Wrexham and Newport County a little bit there, but it was a pod with a difference this week because we talked to Josh. So we will start with Newport County and Wrexham next week. Thank you very much for downloading. If he's listening, thank you again to Josh for your time. I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. What a lovely fella he is. Thank you very much. See you all next week.